Well, that last song we sang, it goes right along with my message. And I tell you that in the Christian's life, there's no reason for us to, the song says, feel no alarm. And that's the earmark of a mature Christian, is I'm not going to panic when things seem to fall apart. Amen? If you're saved, born again here this morning, then you're God's child. He cares for you. And what you got to get to at a point in your Christian life, and assuming, again, you're growing, that you come up against situations. That they're not panic. It's not the end of the world. And the end of the world's coming. I know that. Amen. It's coming. But in the Christian's life, there's situations. That's all they are. Amen. And when you come to those points where you think you can't do anything, there's nothing you can do. Listen, in your life as a Christian, when you're out of control, that's when he's in control. That's where he wants you. See, what the Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. And what we want to do, we want to control. The man wants to put his hands on everything. God, let me help you. Lord, I know I've lived in this body for many years. I can help you with me. And it's preposterous to think this way. That's anti-Bible. See, and the idea that man would come to holy, and they are, I'll use quotations, holy scripture. And they are holy. Amen? Listen, you can burn this book if you want to. You can throw it in the ocean. You can do whatever you want to with it. The words don't change. but it is holy. It's holy. And you have that transaction there. You're reading those words on that page. And it comes, the soul, the eyes, the wind of the soul. I mean, that's soul food. Amen. That comes in here. And there's some. Now listen, I can read any other book I want to, but I read this one. And something happens. See? It's just like preaching. If you're getting up here, and if you're not God called and God filled, then all I'm doing is wasting everybody's time. Any preachers, you're wasting God's time. There's something, and the Bible says his word will not return void. So what does that mean? A God-filled, spirit-filled Christian, when he speaks, there's something that happens, because I'm mere mortal. I'm an animated dirt ball, amen? And my words mean nothing, but the words come out. God gives the blessing. God gives the increase. It reaches the audience's ears, and something takes place. The Bible says if you're going to worship God, you're going to worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. And what we have today, amen, in a lot of churches and a lot of different, well, they're not even churches anymore. They call them worship centers. Listen, the modern-day church has been neutered. See? It has been neutered. And let me explain that to you. They're non-denominational. We don't want to offend anybody. See, they have worship leaders. You know, do you know who the worship leader is here this morning? It better be the Holy Spirit. Amen. What can mortal man? How can mortal man please a deity? What do I have to offer God that would be acceptable to him? Nothing. Your greatest ability is you giving your life up to God and say, God, do with it whatever you will. That's the most that I'm able to please God. And I was thinking about this song here, from all harm safe in his sheltering arms. In your greatest trial, in the situation you can't, dear God, what are we going to do? Listen, those disciples were on the ship with Christ there, and the waves were crashing. You know what Christ was doing? Do you think he had any worries? The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Fearful. Listen, I'd rather be in the hands of an angry God than in the hands of the devil. Even when God is angry with me, guess what? That's the safest place I could possibly be. That's the safest place I can be. All your worry is vain. Feel no alarm. Every day, and Brother Jim said it daily. D-A-Y. Die daily, abide in Christ, and yield to Him. Every day. I was looking over some of my dad's stuff he had there, and he was talking about all these colleges. And Brother Charles preached about that the other day, about how all these Yale and Princeton and all those started as Christian institutions. And a lot of those people that started those institutions, they said, I'm afraid that if the Scripture is not read daily, if we don't seek Christ every single day, then those institutions will become completely destitute. And they have. See? You know what your boldness is this morning? Your boldness is in Christ. We're more than conquerors. How? How? Through Christ. That's how. Psalms, turn your Bibles in Job chapter 1, but I want to read you Psalms 56. Job chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read you this before I pray. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. The time's coming when you're going to be in a bad spot, when you're going to be afraid, when you need God. In that time, I will trust in Thee. In God, I will praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. Why? Because He's worthy. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. The worst they can do is put us in heaven. That's not too bad. I'm like my dad, though. I don't suffer well. So, Lord, please help me not to suffer too much. Every day, and that's the truth. You understand that? Every day, whether you realize it, when you go out and do what you do, see, you're going in the woods and you come back and you got those little prickly things all over your pants and everywhere. You can't help it. And that's the same way the church is. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Lord, cast them down. I love it. I like it. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? God keeping our tears in a bottle. It says it right there. Don't you think God cares? Listen, what's the value of something? What someone is willing to pay for it. How much was paid for you? The dearest thing that God Almighty ever had. You say, well, God loves us. Well, boy, does He ever. He gave the most precious thing He ever. You think about that alabaster box. That was the most precious thing that she had. She gave, and she gave what? All of it. He gave His Son in its entirety. You say, well, I'm going to clean the whole house today. Well, you don't go up in the attic and clean the attic. And you don't go on the roof and brush the roof on. You don't go in the crawl space, you see. All means most of it. When Christ gave all, He gave all without exception. Why? That's how much He loves you and I. Do you think He's going to invest what He did in you and not take care of you? When somebody comes around telling you that, hey, well, it don't matter anymore and you're not worth it. Well, that's not the Lord. When things come around and somebody starts talking to you, I want you to discern. Like, wait. Who's the, is this me? Am I telling myself? Is the devil telling me? Who's telling me this? See? Are there trials or the tribulations or the hard time? Yes, there are, but these are nothing but situations. And time again, God is an expert at turning bad things into things for His will. See, in a Christian life, you say, hey, I did not get the outcome that I wanted. And you think that's a bad thing. It's because, you know why? It's because you don't know any better. Well, this is obviously bad. Well, God help you. Did God tell you that? Boy, I tell you why. Because God delights to govern in the affairs of His children. Just like I do. I ask Cameron every day at home, I'm going to get at least one hug from him. And so it's become a game. And I have to chase him down sometimes. But I'm going to get that hug. And when he asks me something, hey, Dan, can I get this? You know what? It means everything to me. I know he doesn't need it every time he asks for it. You don't need that. And I know better than he does. But, buddy, if it wasn't just against the Bible or it wasn't just flat wrong, I'd probably give him everything he wanted. And God knows I did not need a little girl. She would be spoiled, extremely spoiled. She'd be a brat, probably. I delight to give my kids everything they want, unless they don't need it, because loving them is doing right, not what they want to do. Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, it's so easy to take these fleshly eyes and look out and say, I'm judging my situation by what's before me. And you cannot do that, brethren. You can't do that. That's not Bible. We're going to go through here, and I'm going to tell you the story of Job, and we're all familiar with it. But Job is an interesting story because, buddy, he went through the mill. You're talking about going through the mill, and he was sifted. And I know the Bible talks about Peter that, desired that he was sifted as wheat. And, boy, Job was sifted out big time. And he went through it. He went through it. And, folks, he had no reason to go through it. What reason? I mean, he was holy, and he eschewed evil, and he went to please God. He made sacrifices for his children just in case they needed sacrifices. He didn't deserve that. But boy, his reaction, and what a story. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. Of course he did. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? What are you doing here? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down it, up to no good. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Oh, Lord, I don't think he'd say that about me. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. I like that word perfect. You know what perfect means when it concerns you and I? It means complete. See, this life is not about perfection. To be complete in God is to be what? Acceptable. Lord, am I acceptable to you? Is my heart clean? Or pure? Are my hands clean? Perfect. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 10 there, I like that. Thou hast made a hedge about him, and about his house, and all that he hath on every side. You know why you want to serve? Well, there's 100 reasons to serve God. You only need one, because he died on the cross for your sins. But I'm telling you, what you miss by being in church, oh, I need to go to church. It's a matter of time for... Listen, I heard a preacher say this one time, and I agree with it. You're either going into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're walking out of a storm. Amen? And it's coming. And I know it's not the same for everybody. One man's storm may not be another man's. But your life, doesn't it seem sometimes like the situations that come are just for you? They seem just overwhelming. But God knows exactly what's going on in the middle of the storm. Amen. We see verse 11, the great accuser is doing what he does best, accusing the best. And that's what it is. It's an accusation. If you're saved, born again this morning, your sins are washed clean. Amen. You're saved by the blood of Christ, amen. He can accuse all he wants to. Take these things away, and he'll curse you to your face. Is that you this morning? That thing that's dearest to your heart besides the dear Son of God, I wonder if he took it away, what would you say? Verse 13 to 15, all his servants die. 16 to 17, all his sheep and cattle are dead. 18 and 19, 10 of his children die. Why, Lord? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I don't understand that. I thought I was I'm a Christian. My troubles are supposed to be over with. Chapter 2, his better half, bless her heart, says, why don't you just curse God and die? You're miserable. That's not the help people I want. Why don't you just curse God and die? But if you'll look at verse 20, we're going to see Job's response to this, and this is a spirit-filled man. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I had an old roommate at PBI, and he got into some bad stuff. And in all his pride, he could not see that what he had gotten himself into was his fault. I called him years later, and the only reason I found out about his situation, and to me, it's I'm not going to glorify, and I'm not trying to. I'm not going to mention what he got into. It's really bad. He calls me up, and he said, man, I'm so messed up, and he explained this to me. And he said, I told my pastor about this thing, and he said he wouldn't. He told me to leave the church and get out, and all this stuff. And I tried to help him. I said, you're gonna have to go somewhere and figure this out. I don't know if you need to go to a men's home. Or, if there's anything I can help you with, that's fine. And there came a point where he came to a fork in the road, and he decided that this was not his fault. He said, God did this to me. See? If God was who he said he is, he never would have let this happen in my life. See, we don't take responsibility for the things that happen to us. That's the world we live in today. It's not my fault. It's obviously someone else's fault. And like the preacher said one time, obviously the problem is with you. Obviously. Neither did he charge God foolishly. And buddy, he said it right in verse 21, that, hey, the Lord gave it to me, and the Lord takes it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's not everything you got is borrowed. Amen. It's so funny about things. Hey, listen, there's a little trick some natives use in South America there in the jungles. They'll take a coconut, and they'll cut a hole in that coconut, and they'll put a grape in there. And that monkey will reach in there with his tiny hand, just big enough to get his hand through. And he'll grab that grape, and he'll try to pull it back out. And they'll secure that coconut to something. Well, then all they got to do is come along and grab that monkey. And the reason why is because once that monkey gets a hold of that grape, he will not let go. He wants that so bad that he's willing to get captured, then let go of that possession that is so prized to him. And it's something how we take temporal things, and we place such a high value on something. Never sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. I want it now. It makes me feel good right now, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get it. And 3 months later, you haven't even thought about that thing. It's like kids playing with the box the toy came in instead of the toy itself. And we're no different. We got bigger boxes and bigger toys. Amen. The moment in your Christian life where you discover your greatest treasure, you know what God equates wisdom and righteousness and instruction and spirituality. You know what the Bible equates it to? Precious gems. Seek it out as rubies and precious stones. That's what it is. That's the treasure, see? But we want it right now. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to touch it. That's who we are. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Have you found yourself in a situation where you have no idea what to do? And, buddy, I'm telling you, Brother Andrew and I were talking the other day, and he was talking about some of the things he went through, almost dying in the hospital and losing the child and all that. And, you say that if you're a Christian, if there's any love of God in your heart this morning, you should desire. I know some people personally who went and tried to find out to speak in tongues because that they thought that was it. You know, I want it all. Give it all to me. And they thought that was all. Why do you want to speak in tongues? Because they think that's it. They've arrived. See? And they're naive about that. But if you desire it all, and I've heard some people too, that there are some people I know that have made themselves poor because they equated that with spirituality. I know some people that have purposely put themselves in harm's way because they thought that would make them. Your response to God is that, Lord, do with me as you will. Take my life and let it be. See? And if God does it, it'll be done right. And if God does it, it'll be Paul and Silas in the jail singing in bonds. Boy, that I'll tell you, if that's not God. I remember in China, we had a guy there, another missionary that was with my parents there in China. His name is Luigi. I mentioned him here before. And when Jimmy, the national pastor there, when he got arrested, my dad and Luigi were jealous. They were jealous. And I was like, well, I'm not quite there yet, but, you know, that's fine. And I know what they were saying. I mean, what an honor. I mean, do I have the fortitude to be a martyr for Christ? I don't know. But Lord, you know, God, whatever it is that you have for me, listen, you may not be in a place where you're ready for whatever God has, but God, make me willing to be willing. Change me so that I'm ready to accept what you have for me. And he can do it. We face things that seem impossible. Job was a man of trouble, but he was in God's will, and he was living right. We're so quick to judge, and I find myself doing that. Well, I wonder what they did wrong. They're going through a hard time. They obviously did something wrong. I mean, I'm doing great. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know. And it's easy to judge people, too, because you have no idea where they are. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of seeing that. Well, that brother over there, I mean, three strikes, and he's out, buddy. He's not past my muster, so he's no good. No, you don't know where. You have no idea. It could be just around the corner that God's going to change his life. Just around the bend, God's got something for him and turn him completely around. Trouble does not mean you are out of God's will. Trouble is in our lives to teach us, to train us, and to tender our hearts toward God. Boy, nothing will give you perspective like a broken heart. I grieve for other people and situations, and I see their situation. I say, God, I don't think I could make it through what they just went through. But, man, the glory of God just fills the room when they, you know, and I see people that I get behind the pulpit, and they're as plain as a mud fence, but, man, they get up here, and God just all over them. There will always be things that don't make sense. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. But never forget, all things work together for our good. I heard a preacher say one time that, listen, as far as the lost world goes, this is all the heaven they'll ever have. Why do the wicked prosper? Oh, they're not. Fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. What we have is far better. And you'll never see that. Aside from this book, God, open my eyes, lift the veil off my eyes. Listen, God is incapable of doing wrong. He's too good to do wrong. He's too wise to make a mistake, and he's too loving to ever be unkind. Job lost all his possessions, his children, his wealth, suffered boils. His wife forsook him. His friends failed him. But what he did made all the difference. Listen, this morning, what to do when you don't know what to do? First of all, I'd like to say the first thing you need to do is wait. Wait. Boy, I'm telling you, the older I get, the more that rings true. Never react to a situation. Job 2, verse 13, so they sat down with him. upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. I've known people like that. You can see it on their face. Lord, I mean, they're going through it. 7 days, didn't speak a word. That's impossible for some people, I know. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. I've been there. For as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isaiah 40, verse 1, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hey, that's another Bible promise, amen? Amen. I can take that to the bank. I mean, I can say, listen, Lord, you, and I love that we're reading through Genesis right now, and I can't remember what Bible character it was, but one of them came to God and said, Lord, this is what you said, and he quoted it verbatim. He didn't just paraphrase his Lord. He said, Lord, you said this and this and this and this. You know what? I think the Lord likes that. And you know what he says? He's like, you're right. I did say that. And guess what? I'm going to come through with it. Lord, you said if I would wait that you'd do something. And Lord, I'm waiting. Okay. That's all you can do. Wait. You think you're at the end of your strength and you can't go on. But God says to wait. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. God, in due time, will renew your strength. The Bible says, run and not be weary. Walk and faint not. The Psalm says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Boy, that's tough. Waiting will reveal three things. That his promises are true. That his power will take us through, and that his provision was there the entire time. You ever been on the backside of a situation like that, and you look back and you're like, wait a second, the answer was there the whole time. That's God getting glory. God, listen, Lord, don't let me fix it if I can. Wait. Secondly, watch. This morning, we should never be surprised at what God does, but always be amazed. Listen, now stop. The situation looks grim. There's something going on here, but I know what the Bible says. God has brought me to this place on purpose. This is not an accident. I'm here by His will. Now stop. God's going to do something. Wait. Wait, then watch. Let's watch. I'm watching. I'm watching for God to do something. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Listen, the devil is out to get every single church member and destroy everything that we have. Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. When? 24/7. He's never off duty. He's more faithful than most of us. Knows the Bible better than you and I. Thank God that there's someone greater than he. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He was waiting on Job to give up, and I wonder if this morning he's waiting on somebody here to give up. And I see you can't help but observe certain people and things are going through, and sometimes, and I think that Brother Charles mentioned it, that sometimes you just want to reach out and just grab him and just shake him and say, why? Why are you doing this? Can't you see what you're doing? And sometimes, you know what you need to do? You know what some people need? There are sometimes when words just don't cut it. You know what they need? They need you to love them. You need to love them. And love, listen, you say, God, there's no love in my heart for them. Okay, then Lord, let me love them through you. Watch yourself. Job 1:22, in all of this, Job sinned not. Chapter 2, verse 10, he chose not to listen to his wife. Thank God for that. There's a tendency to blame God. Watch yourself. Keep your tongue. Hold it. That's hard. Control the tongue, control the whole body, the Bible says. Don't get angry with God or charge him foolishly. Watch yourself. Watch your friends. Amen. Job, you know what Job called it? Now, of course, after hearing the description of his friends, I'm amazed that they're even called friends, because that's not what the definition of a friend is. Here's Job's friends, his friends. He calls them forgers of lies, physicians of no value, miserable comforters. I wouldn't have those friends for very long, amen. You know what Job said to his friends? He said, if the roles were reversed, I would have comforted you. What are you doing? As church members, as brethren, you know what? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know those friends who seem to have an answer for everything? So bold and sure of themselves and their choices, they got the answer. And don't worry, just give them a minute. Later in the scriptures, they told Job that they said, hey, you know what? All this is happening is your fault. Good night. Watch yourself, watch your friends. Also, watch the Savior's faithfulness. Look to him, listen to him, love him, and live for him. Boy, it's been worth it every time. You know, each and every day that he comes and he stirs in my heart, I'm amazed every single time. And it's so funny, Lord, I mean, and you've heard the saying, and it may be part of a song, Lord, I need you more today than I did yesterday. And the next day, I need you more today than I did yesterday. And the Bible says his grace is sufficient for thee. And I think about that manna in the desert. Hey, it was just enough for that day. And he gives me just what I need for this day. You know what he gives us? He gives, Lord, I need faith. And he gives us faith for now. Amen? When you're at your lowest and you're kicked down and you got nothing, you got no strength, God says, here's enough faith to get you through for right now. Until I can get to the next part I'm supposed to be. Wait, watch, and last of all, worship. The first thing Job did was rent his clothes, shave his head, fall on the ground. Have you been in a position where that's all you had? Got nothing, less than nothing. I'm a worm, Lord. I'm a worm and no man. God, if you don't do it, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know you can. God may put you there. Satan tried to get him to stop the very thing he needed most. It was the only way he could get through this tragedy. Sometimes you feel that worshiping, sometimes when you want to go to church the least is when you need it the most. And I try to remember that. I remember not too long ago when we closed the church down and we had a couple of church members come anyway. They just showed up, opened the doors, and they had church, whether anybody else was. I like that. I appreciate that. I like that. We had a Wednesday just not too long ago where Brother Jim preached, and there was, I mean, it was 10, 12 people. It was wonderful. I don't know what that says about everybody else, but I'm just saying, it was wonderful. Listen, you know what? You can't live off of someone else's religion or Christianity. You are solely responsible for your spirituality. Amen. I'm going to live for God, and if you like me, that's fine. If you don't, I don't care. I need God, else I die. God has something for you at church. Do you come to church to hear about God or to meet with God? I want the meeting. Job 23, verse 8 through 10, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, he hideth himself on the right, that I cannot see him. Here's Job saying, Lord, where are you? Listen, if you don't know where God is, can I tell you, you can see where he's been? And sometimes I wonder, Lord, why? Why would you hide yourself from anybody? It's for your benefit. He's there, amen. He's there. You've heard the poem about the footprints in the sand, and there's only one set, amen. That means he was carrying me. Listen, he's always there. He said, look, I go forward. He's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. But verse 10 said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Every day is a new day, but God knoweth the way. Job said, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. When I don't know where I am, he knows. When I can't see, he sees for me. When I can't hear, he hears. The deeper we trust in him, the less that you'll require an explanation. God, why? No, wait a minute. Lord, wait. You know best. I'm going to trust you. I'm not his co-pilot. Say, God, here's the keys. I'm going to get in the trunk of the car, and you do whatever's best. Why? Father knows best. God writes with a pen that never blots, speaks with a tongue that never slips, and acts with a hand that never fails. Job waited, he watched, and then he worshiped. And in the end, guess what? He had twice as much as he started with. When trials come and situations come in your life, say this. First, he brought me here. It is by his will that I'm in this place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows. In 1949, Reverend R.I. Williams, a pastor in Norfolk, Virginia, phoned the local paper to give them his sermon topic for the day, as he did so often. The Lord is my shepherd, he said. The person on the other end said, is that all? Reverend Williams replied, that's enough. He's enough this morning. Lord, we're thankful that you love us and you care for us. We're thankful, Lord, that even in our most terrible, dire situation, God, that you know what's best and you're working on it, even though we may not see it. Help us, Lord, to trust you implicitly. Lord, help us to desire all that you have for us, Lord, and live accordingly. Thank you for these things. Thank you for these folks this morning, Lord. I pray that you were lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.